It's the Dubai Property Podcast for news, interviews and market trends.
And welcome back to another episode of the Dubai Property Podcast, talking real estate around the UAE and available on Spotify and Apple and wherever you get your podcast from this weekend. As our weekend continues on a Sunday morning, yes, it is May the 28th. Tell you what, June is almost here. Coming up this morning, we have 7 days of the Dubai Property Real Estate reflecting back over some of the interviews and some of the opinions about the UAE property market, including earlier in the week we spoke to Harry Tregoning, who talks about horse racing in the Dubai property market and just how popular horse racing has become, and also the development opportunities around the horse racing tracks, and also landlords and renters. Harry is working in this space and we talk about that. Michael Waters, who is an expert on all things real estate in the Dubai and UAE property market. We talk to Michael about the maturity of the Dubai property market and how often looking back over a period of time can help inform and guide you as to what may happen in the future. And we know just how important analysing future trends are through historical data is, and we will touch on that. And also Anthony Joseph Abajode, who was also here over the last 7 days, he gives us his thoughts about the Dubai property market as well. And I see another development has been announced this week, this time from Sharjah, the Ajwan Khorfakkan residence. Now, this is a luxury freehold project with 184 residences, including spacious apartments, sustainable villas in Sharjah's sustainability city. They say saving residents up to 50% on utility bills. So as we know, they keep announcing developments because people are moving to the UAE from all over the world. And the marketing blurbs from various organizations say that people are moving for a tax-free income, also world-class infrastructure, cosmopolitan lifestyle, of course, all-year sunshine, the city's thriving economy, diverse culture, safety, now that's a huge one, and high quality of life, which make it an attractive destination for individuals seeking a new experience and career growth. And, you know, a lot of the time you can read and you can hear these marketing pitches that try to attract people to a city, say, like a Dubai, but often it's embellished and you read it and go, that's probably about maybe 40% true. But in Dubai's case, you read all of those points, you hear and you see what's going on, and it's very hard to argue with why people are moving here.
Keep updated with the latest real estate news, economist predictions, property sales, or what's trending right now on the Dubai Property Podcast. Remember to follow us on any of the podcast platforms so you never miss a real estate podcast. You can follow us on Apple, Spotify, and Amazon. We're on all of them. Know your property with us.
Now, I didn't realize, but, and there'll be a lot of listeners that won't know this about you, Harry, but you're into your horse racing in a big way. In fact, you got a syndicate horse. Tell us a little bit about that one.
We've got a horse hit trained in Dubai at Zabil. We bought it a couple of years ago. We syndicated it. We've had a lot of fun with it. Prize money's pretty good here in Dubai. And so we have 10 families. It's won a race, been placed about 3 or 4 times. It's been a lot of fun. Unfortunately, it's out of training at the moment because it's now starting to get too warm. But come November, he'll be ready to run again.
That name Zabil, that's a famous name either in Australia. I think it's Australia. I think that was a winning championship horse.
There was indeed. I think it probably named after the area of Zabil in Dubai, which is where Mazarin of Sheikh Mohammed's number one palace is, really. Some of the lawyers in the syndicate, they always thought they were going to go and see the horse at lunchtime, but I don't think it's quite so open as that.
Now, tell us a little bit about that area around the racetrack, because that is all sort of being redeveloped at the moment. So talk about the opportunity there.
The main race course in Dubai is Maidan, and it's very much a showpiece for Dubai. As we all know here, the Dubai World Cup is one of the great sporting events of the region. Now, this race course is probably one of the biggest in the world. It's been here about 15 years. It's a fabulous, fabulous structure. It's about a mile long. It's got a hotel in it. It's got clubs. It's got a tennis academy, as well as this race course.
Now, having a look at Dubai's real estate market right now, it's set to make an impressive $82 billion in sales this year. Rental prices, of course, they have surged as well, 26%. And that is an area that you are working in, Harry. So it's very, very tight, isn't it, at the moment with regard to this whole rental?
Obviously, like every market in the world, it's driven by supply and demand. And we have conservative estimates of 400,000 people coming from Russia in the last year. It's obviously a huge increase in population here. There's also the expectation for that number to be matched in the next year going forward. Unfortunately, or fortunately for those of us here, that is driving up these housing prices, both in sales and in rentals. Now, one of the knock-on effects of the rental increase is that people are actually buying properties themselves. And this means that they can get control of their own futures. RERA here has been set up to manage rentals so there is some stability for the existing residents. And as a result, there are limits to how much you can have your rent increased. And that can be up to 20%, depending on how far below their market rates you fall. The landlords themselves, they can only evict you. They have to give you 1 year's notice. And with that 1 year's notice, they either have to move in themselves or a very close member of their family.
And in terms of all these rules and regulations, I think there are a lot of tenants. I think it's probably fair to say they go along with some situations where it is not legal. The landlord is acting in a way that is not the way they should be doing it. Yet because of the lack of stock, some of these tenants, they just sort of bite the bullet with it. And it's a little bit unfortunate. And they're not prepared to report on some of these landlords because they don't want to be turfed out of their property.
There was a guy yesterday I spoke to, and he was paying 130,000 dirhams for his three-bedroom villa. And the landlord walked in and goes, I want 200,000. And he said, I'm sorry. And he goes, well, that's the market right now. That's what I want. But the guy said, well, look, we'll look at the RERA rent calculator on this. You can't put me up. So they went into a long sort of negotiation on it. Eventually, the landlord got an independent valuation, which valued it at 170, 180. Still, the maximum you can put it up is 20%. So he wasn't going to get what he wanted. So eventually it did end up with RERA. The tenant, he's in a winning position, and he dropped the checks off at RERA, and the landlord can come and pick them up when he wants.
Yeah, that's a very topical and worthwhile question there, Craig. Thank you for asking it. You know, we go as far back as sort of 2002, which is when nationals were able to participate and buy into the market. The data sets themselves typically sort of start around the 2008, 2009 time period because of the reliability and cleansing of that information kind of starts there. So that's where, you know, your starting point would be in any analysis. So it's an interesting time to be looking at a real estate market. That time period was very volatile anyway, but that is the historical time series that we have for Dubai. So approximately about 15 years of real estate data. And as you say, as time evolves, we can start looking at establishing a kind of a long run average to investing and investment decisions. But one thing that I think I would carry forward from our last discussion would be that, you know, we're entering a bit of a new phase of Dubai in terms of data transparency and data maturity. So although the volatility that and kind of the highs and lows of Dubai that we saw in that 08, 09, you know, recovering in sort of 2012 time period is useful to look back on.
Yeah, because with all the changes, they've happened so fast. So it's almost hard to get a radar on where Dubai would be in 5 years from now.
Yeah, I mean, it always is. I mean, the challenge of any investing, I call it scenario testing rather than forecasting, because it's identifying what's going to drive a market forward. Again, we don't know with any certainty, but we can establish what's the driving force behind, you know, growth in a real estate market. And I would, as I say, I think one of the big things is the vision for Dubai to 2040 is very clear. It's how the government foresee this city. And it's always good to establish when you invest in a place, what is the offering of the city in what will now be 17 years time? You know, how is Dubai going to look like in the future? What are the population forecasts? And again, so those kind of urban forces, urban areas are getting larger, more densely populated globally. Dubai is no different. Therefore, the need for housing, real estate is still attractive. I think historically, the city was just making itself to a scale that is attractive. I think this next sort of phase, or the second phase, is now desirability and value for money, essentially. And I think at the moment, people investing in Dubai are starting to see, despite the price increases that we've had, the value of money proposition is still a driving force behind why the market is going up.
And let's just have a look at the longer term right now, because there is this talk about what is the best investment long term in the UAE. Should one be looking at investing in houses and villas versus the apartment? So it's that houses versus apartment argument. Again, an investor comes in. What would you be suggesting in those two particular options?
There probably isn't a complete answer to satisfy everyone's requirements. I think if you look at the sort of ultra high net worth individual super luxury offering, that's all, you know, within the large expansive villa offerings that Dubai offers those buyers. I think on a more, I guess, resident based typical expat purchaser view, personally, I've always taken the view about is the investment going to be dynamic? And going back to what I said before, would I want a villa in a suburban area in Dubai versus something more central? So I would try and look at price affordability and try and buy as much real estate as I could in a more central location. I think that would always be my philosophy anywhere in the world that I was investing in real estate. I know it's a difficult moving goalpost. That would always be my case. I think obviously coming out of the last few years, preferences have steered towards villas and townhouses. But I think that probably that would mean that there may be more value in some of the larger apartment offerings. And I don't really think that, you know, one is better than the other. It depends what kind of lifestyle choice you want. The more traditional choices about being in a school catchment area, being close to work, probably drive those decisions. What Dubai does have, which is good, is it has a diversity of housing stock within geographical locations. So if people do choose to buy the larger apartments or any apartment, there's plenty of those. Likewise, within short distances, there's options within townhouse and villa communities.
We talk real estate across the UAE every week with expert insights and analysis on the Dubai Property Podcast.
And right now it's time to catch up once again with Anthony Joseph Abajou. Last time that we spoke to you, you were talking about all of these billionaires, the millionaires, it's all increasing month on month. And a bit of news out of Singapore. So tell us a little bit about that in terms of tax, because we were talking about the tax that is coming next month in June, but there's a bit of a tax in Singapore that's going to hit people.
Correct. They have announced that they're going to be charging 60% tax for all of the foreign investors. What does this mean to us? It means that all of the Chinese that they are parking their money in Singapore, this is not going to be interesting for them anymore. They are going to move the money again to Dubai. Not to mention all of the casinos coming into Dubai, which is a great attraction for Chinese. So when people were telling you, and I heard this on the show, that the Russian money already is steaming out. Now we have Chinese coming again in here. And also following my numbers and the report which I was looking at, we are seeing now that the Americans are ranking number 5 in terms of investors. They always used to rank above 10 and now they are number 5. Why is that? Because stuff are shaky in the States. Everyone with big pockets, they're moving in here.
Gee, you know, you look at the whole aspect of the COVID. The COVID has been such a driver for the amount of people moving into the UAE. You've got the Chinese now that are starting to eye up Dubai, now with Singapore. I mean, all of these things there, it attracts. Where there's some negativity in another country, it is just turned into a positive for the UAE.
Blessing in disguise. It's been like that for 3 years. Whatever happens in the world end up to be in our favor in the city. And that's why, like, it's a different game post-COVID. Like, prices are now set up in a way that they will never go back to where they were in COVID. So whoever bought in 18, 19, 2020, they are making these crazy figures by quadrupling up their investment and making all of this crazy amounts.
And particularly if you take a country like Singapore and you look at the square footage and what you are paying in Singapore and compare that to Dubai, and now just off the back of what you've said with relation to the tax, I mean, it's a no-brainer that many people are going to move here as a result.
100%. And that's why I'm telling you, because I've seen the Chinese money in the city in 2017 and 2018. And these guys are not here to coming one or two units. I've seen them buying buildings, like where we used to come in the sales center. So it was packed with Chinese just signing up their SPAs. So it was crazy. Some developers didn't even release that inventory in the market. It was all bought in bulk. Like, I'm talking here anywhere between 450 million to 750 million buildings, especially in the Creek Harbor site, because Creek Harbor is a bit of replica from Hong Kong, and this is why they love that area. So yeah, now I'm expecting the Chinese money to be flowing in the city within 1 month maximum, and this also gonna be a great booster for the luxury segment.
The skyline is constantly changing, growing, and expanding. The Dubai Property Podcast for all things real estate.